Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Napoleon Hill Institute Weekly Training. I want to thank everybody for being here. We're here at SoFi Stadium at our mastermind, greatest stadium ever built. That's the most expensive TV right behind me as well. It's not a green screen. See, not a green screen. I could actually jump through there if I wanted. All right, let's get started with one of my favorite trainings, the roadmap to our potential. And let me just do one thing. Once again, Mikey, not only working on first and third person, he forgets I'm 57 years old. All right, I got it. Here we go. Mastery in anything compounds while mediocrity dilutes. So it's the mastery that creates acceleration, aggregation, and compounding. In other words, the behaviors that we practice in the pursuit of mastery is what will compound our outcomes in a divine direction, in a direction towards where we want to be or better, while mediocrity, what I call extra milers, it'll dilute all of your efforts. So there's an abnormal exponential differentiator in success for those people that go what I call the empty mile, which is I am committed intentionally every single day, 7 days a week to these non-negotiable behaviors, and I don't miss a day, knowing 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday, where the extra miler will go 2 hours on Saturday and use that to justify why they're not where they want to be or better. And I use this really silly example of why, because I've studied physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics about repetitive behavior in the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. And that is mathematically really difficult to get across to people, but this example's not. Show me a kid that studies Spanish 15 minutes a day, 7 days a week, and doesn't get an A. It's an impossibility. Any kid who studies Spanish 15 minutes a day, every single day, is guaranteed an A. Show me kids like me that studied 15 hours on Saturday or Sunday before the test and doesn't get an A. There's what people do in life. It's because mediocrity, using the extra mile to make an excuse for why I'm not where I want to be. But Dad, I studied all day Sunday. Yeah, but you don't understand how our potential or how mastery is formed. Mastery is not formed 15 hours on a Saturday. And when I say that, it's true about being a parent. Being a masterful parent isn't taking your kids to Disneyland on Saturday. It's putting in a minimum amount of time, 7 days a week, to let them know, I'm proud of you. I love you. I always have your back. To ask them, did you do your best? What did you learn? Did you have fun? That doesn't work on Saturday all day. Well, I spent the whole day at his soccer tournament. I have friends who tell me, I don't know why he's having so much problems with me. I spent all Saturday sitting at his soccer tournament. Did you tell him you were proud of him? Did you ask him what he learned? Were you engaged or were you just sitting and he didn't even know you were there because you were too busy taking your phone calls and watching your emails and scrolling on TikTok? Or were you cheering for it? Were you giving him suggestions or asking him questions in between the games? This is what people do. And it's a wonder how mediocrity dilutes while mastery compounds. When we choose one promise and fulfill it better than anyone, the market, the community will reward us with retention, referrals, and resilience. That's what you're rewarded with. Simplicity scales where complexity cracks. And our attention and our intention is the lever that turns our potential not into perfection, but our potential into performance. Performance is what pursues perfection. It's what creates the progress that leads us to our perfect selves at the perfect time, place, value, and emotion. Imagine pressing pause on the quote unquote just one more feature. When we're developing, just one more this, just one more that. Just imagine pressing the pause on just one more feature, spiral and perfecting a single product's onboarding. The churn drops, the referrals show up without an extra ad spend. You don't need more offerings. You need more excellence. Depth beats breadth because the world pays a premium for clarity, harmony, consistency, and confidence. They pay a premium for that. It is resilience that creates consistency. Consistency creates reliance. Reliance creates credibility. Credibility is the end all of being able to communicate value, because if you're 100% credible, people will believe the value in which you articulate. Now, nobody can be 100% credible. But the more credible you are, the less people are looking for what you're saying is true instead of what you're saying is not true. And it makes it a lot easier to articulate value when people have that trust. There is a credibility crisis, a trust crisis, because too many people are overselling, back-end selling, living in a gap between this is what I want people to think I am and this is what I am. And this is what you do, Mel, is to create the character for our kids to understand these differences. The first lesson of how to pursue our potential is the most expensive education I've ever bought. That's the lesson. The most expensive education I've ever bought or we bought. Tuition is either paid in humility up front or in hard lessons later on. Thus, my favorite quote, you're either humble or you're about to be. Ignoring the whispers turns into taxes on your time, your money, and your energy. So many of us, we burn bandwidth building unvalidated products because I thought we knew better than the market. There's an ignorant arrogance in thinking we know what we don't know. There's two types of ignorant arrogance of thinking that we don't know what we don't know. One is out of an arrogance as a hater, projector. So we don't know what we don't know, and we project it on other people because we know we don't know, and so we hate on them. Projecting our insecurity that we really don't know, so I'm going to pretend that I'm the expert and shit on you, laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you, and then when you're successful, applaud you and tell you I knew you could do it. The other ignorant arrogance is more dangerous, and it's the people that love us the most. The people that love us the most are the scariest ignorant, arrogant people in our life, because they love you so much, they are so afraid for you to get hurt. Way more afraid for you than they are for themselves. I call these people parents, aunts, uncles, and grandparents. Sometimes teachers and coaches. They love you so much, they give you really shitty advice because all the advice and consultation that they give you is based off an ignorance and arrogance that they're afraid for you. So they give you advice based off of fear that they don't want you to get hurt. I spoke to one of my one-on-one clients today and I said, you have to realize one thing. I am terrified for my kids and I sometimes break my own rules and I just give them shitty advice. I hear this stuff coming out of my mouth. Oh, you should do this, Marissa. You should do this, Maria. You should do this, Marlena. You should do this, Miles. And right when I say it, I'm like, you ignorant, arrogant piece of shit. You just gave them really bad advice because that was just based off of protecting them. That's all. You don't know. You have no idea whether they should interview for this or be in school or not. You have no idea, right? Like how many great entrepreneurs do you know that imagine if they listened to their parents? Oh yeah, stay in school, be a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure. You know, we would have, you know, half of the entrepreneurs missing in the world if they went to the school because their parents gave them shitty advice based off of an ignorant, arrogant, you know, this expensive education. Just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice. But we do need to appreciate the people that love us. So I tell the kids on the other side, when I give you shitty advice because I'm afraid for you, just realize I don't know what I'm talking about and appease me by at least appreciating the reason why I'm giving you the advice is because I love you so much and that I'm protecting you. But I have to learn as a parent that everybody is built for one thing. Human beings, the human experience, you are built for survival, not happiness, not enlightenment. You're built for survival. And if I don't give you an opportunity to survive, to continue to have the confidence and comfortability that I will survive no matter what, because I have a desire that I must be what I can be. And even though I'm a parent and that little motherfucker broke up with her, lied to her and cheated on her, and I want to break his fucking neck, I don't, because she needs to survive. She needs to learn to stand up to herself and break his fucking neck herself. Or have enough pride to forgive him and find something better next time, knowing that she's too good for him. And she made a mistake by not learning who she surrounds herself with, by not seeing the clues and the patterns of shitty people and shitty relationships. That doesn't happen if you give that big protective promoted advice as a parent. You have to understand your children, your people, your employees are built for survival. Let them survive. Let them survive. Let them become better survivors, like Viktor Frankl, one of the greatest survivors of all time, who understands survival is also aligned with the meaning we give the circumstances in the present and the past and the future. I say it all the time to people, the meaning you give your past is aligned with where you want to be. It is not deterring or interfering with where you want to be. It's not casting a shadow on your future. The meaning you give your past should be taking you to where you want to be, not stopping you from going or starting. When we start with ego, with the ignorant arrogance of the ego, you end with expense. It's called the dummy tax. When we start with inquiry, with curiosity, with an open mind, open heart, open hand, notice the two things I say I look for entrepreneurs. Necessity of being what you must be, must need to be what you must be, and have an open heart, open mind, and open hands. When you start with that, we end up with income, not expense. There's the ledger if you're an accountant. Credits or debits, determined upon your perspective. We need to replace perfection with correction and seek feedback fast. There is no failure. There's just feedback. Replace your perfection with correction. Audit your awarenesses. And where we assume, instead of asking, start asking. Look for suggestions and questions. I say it so many different times, but find somebody that is already there and ask them for directions. And then find someone that wants to be where you want to be and give them directions. That's the community that we build here. That's why this room fills up every single month, because it's a bunch of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other. Under the context of understand, the most expensive education I ever bought came from this philosophy. The second lesson, validate the problem before you build the solution. So many of us lie in denial, right? I talk about lying to it, cheating it, denying it, trying to go over it, under it, through it, around it, resisting it. And they're trying to build a solution without validating what is actually the problem. Remember, every single solution, it is already in the problem, in the struggle. There's a oneness to the entire field of energy in which we exist. And in the human experience, which is indicated by 24 hours a day, from the time, bookend by the time your heart starts and stops, every struggle today that's created by uncertainty, right? Every struggle, people tell me, I'm not afraid. I'm like, really? Because human nature says that if you're uncertain, you're afraid, and you naturally react to that fear. It's how you respond. You may not respond anymore with an acceleration in fear. You may be able to respond with a majesty of calmness, with an enlightened behavior, with ease. That's cool. But don't tell me that you are not afraid and your body, mind, and soul are not reacting to that fear of uncertainty. Because nobody here can tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. And if you can, I know how to make billions of dollars. I always tell people, I'll give mine to charity, you keep yours. Just somebody out there, tell me something besides there's 24 hours tomorrow, almost guaranteed, that certainly this stock, crypto, real estate is going to go up 2%. Tell me that certainty, we're all freaking rich. But no one's ever been able to do that, because every problem is within the solution. It's a lapse of time before it becomes a resolution or a resolution. And it's the wisdom and faith that shortens the distance of resistance created by that time. So assumptions are more expensive line item, and validation is the cheapest insurance. I love the old baseball saying, right? You made making an assumption, you make an ass of you and me. That's an expensive item. But validation, stable data, curiosity, seeking wisdom and faith in the resolution, the resolution, is the cheapest form of insurance for the uncertainty that's going to come, guaranteed. Falling in love with your product and your headlines instead of real customer pain and demand is the insight that we need. How many entrepreneurs you meet? I see them yesterday. I got 12 of them. Mel, you've been on the show. 12 of them yesterday, all in varying degrees in love with their product. And I have to stop them while they're pitching. I'm like, bro, stop telling me how great your freaking bar is. Bruh. Bucky and I, we grew up with bros. They grew up with bros. Bruh. I got the bet. I'm like, okay, well, tell me about the business. Well, it's the cleanest product. You know, it has the best protein and no fats, and it tastes like, you know, the Godiva chocolate combined with marshmallows and creamy sauce. You know, and I'm like, no, bro, tell me about the business. Have you tried Wings Tacos? No, my wife has. I won't say it. I forget these recorded. Yeah, let's look at the real pain and the real value and the real demand. What's the market? Yes, everybody lined up at the surfing tournament, you know, at the U.S. Open in Huntington Beach. 2,000 of them sold, and there was only 6 people there. It was amazing. That does not mean dick. That means that at the surfing tournament, there was a huge demand, and maybe there was no other food, and people were fucking starving, and they would eat shit. Doesn't mean it's even good. Have any of you like been starving like me? I'm like, oh shit, the best cracker I've ever had. Oh my God. Cause I did like Bucky, he fasted for like 26 days. I gave him like the nastiest like little date. And he's like, oh. Like, that was delicious. You got any more? I'll give you $100. Yeah, no shit you'll give me over. You're starving. Don't be in love with your product or your features. Be in love with your customers and the demand and the pain that they're in. Articulate the value of taking away the pain. The market will tell you the truth. And to those humble enough to listen, those humble enough to listen, consistency of the pain and current spend will equal the validation that's necessary in order to facilitate understanding the problem before you build the solution. It's so important. I see the variance. You know, Mel and I, we were just discussing that he was so open-minded. He was on the show, and I said, bruh, you're paying way too much for the animation. And my executive producer, right, hadn't done or been in the experience that I had and had the relationships. I'm like, bruh, my exec, oh, no, Dave, that's, and like literally on the show, I'm saying, you're paying too much. You have the best producer of all time in animation. This, you have content for almost 30 years of helping children. This needs to go to market, but let me help you. You're paying way, way too much for that. No, no. But open mind. Went and did and validated the problem and found out, oh shit, I'm paying 80 to 85% too much per episode. Now you have a different business. We found, before we built the solution, we found and validated the problem and the expense was there. Yesterday, the best deal, right? This guy that had that, you know, 8.5 days to close out, you know, $5 million on crowdfunding. That's a pretty serious deal. That's validation of the deal. He was so open-minded. We kept feeding him. He's just open-minded of, oh, okay, what else? We had another deal with this Picasso wallet. Once again, they got super open-minded. During the show, these are people that are validating the problem before they're building the solution. The third lesson, one of Gary Vee's favorite lessons. Hire slow, fire fast. Let me give you a caveat about hiring slow and firing fast. You will never, when you have to fire someone, after you fired them, say to yourself, oh, I did that too early. Every single person I've ever had to fire, it's always like, oh, I wish I would have done that a month ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. It's an impossibility. It's human nature because we give people second chances and we work leverage in an opportunity. We protect ourselves from liability. So there's never a time where you fire someone and say, oh shit, I fired that person too early. So if you feel like it's time to fire someone, fire them fast. It doesn't work the other way. Hire slow, fire fast. The wrong people will drain cash and culture. The weakest link is your highest potential. The right people compound execution and energy. Rewarding potential over performance is avoiding hard calls and turn you or us into a bottleneck. There's two types of capabilities that we analyze with people. There's teachable and unteachable. Do not keep someone on that is not capable of doing something that's unteachable. This is an easy distinction to make when we're looking at people. Look, do they have this capability aligned with where we want to be or better? And is it teachable or not? If it's unteachable, you got the wrong person, fire them. If it's teachable, it's worth the investment to teach them. If they're resistant to being taught or they don't have the capability of being taught, and even though it's a teachable capability, then you have to fire them as well. And it happens. Our skills and our knowledge are a basement. Our desire creates the delta. If we have too low of a basement aligned with what our business is doing, then we're not going to be able to have the advancement of what we need. GWC. We want to make sure he gets it, wants it, and has the capacity to do it. GWC. Does he get it? Does he want it? And does he have the capacity to do it? If so, great employee. Align with where you want to be or better. Must be a triple yes to be a success. Mercy is clarity, not delay. Mercy is clarity in this situation, not a delay. Create measurable scorecards in every role before hiring them. Once again, relative to the lesson two of building what? Understanding the problem before you build a solution. Don't hire until you already have validated it by building a scorecard of who you want to hire and the capabilities, skills, and knowledge that are necessary, teachable and unteachable. Make sure you have some type of process to check in, to incentivize, to review questions and suggestions. I do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. People think I'm insane. 2 hours of my time every Friday spent teaching my team. 2 hours minimum. Minimum 1 hour every Monday and a minimum of 15 minutes on Wednesdays. Values, daily practices, execution model, and incentives align with the activities that we have. Being as annoying as I can, knowing that the greatest teachers, mentors, and coaches are annoying, and the things that annoy human beings the most are repetitiveness and honesty. I'm a velvet hammer. I will tell you the fucking truth. And you're not going to like it sometimes. And I'll try to do it with as much velvet wrapped around me hammering you as possible. And if my daughter, you know, it's going to be more velvet. But I'm going to hammer. I'm going to keep on hammering. I am repetitive. You think you heard what I said today? You will not remember it. I guarantee it. Every single day, I talk about my values, daily practices, execution model, incentives. Promote with evidence, not with vibes. Document everything, capture everything in advance. Hire slow, fire fast. The fourth lesson, damn, time's flying. The fourth lesson, build systems while you're small. So many people try to build the plane in the air and they have to sometimes because you're growing so much. I get that. There's exceptions to every single thing that's ever taught because time, emotion, and value changes. But there's certain things that you want to do if you're capable of doing it according to the time, emotion, and value of the circumstance. One is build the systems as early as you can. Chaos does not scale. Process does. Documenting early buys back time later. One of the smartest things I do, I come from the search community with Westlaw, had the first natural language searching, was taught Boolean language searching in 1992. And so when I started doing content, I invested money in a company called Rev. It was $1 a minute to transcribe all of my audio and video that I did. And my team's like, dude, you know, you could be doubling my salary if you didn't do this. I'm like, I know, but I'll be tripling your salary because I did it, just not today. Why is that so important? Because I'm the only one who has 10 years of content that has been searchable internally and externally. So when something was trending and I couldn't remember, you know, Ray Lewis did something or whatever, all I got to do is type in my search engine, search in my group and my one-on-one clients, they just go to search.dmelcher.com and say, what were the four values again? Go type in four values. You know how much time, money, and emotion that saves me? Just type in five daily practices. You'll have every video I ever did on that because I have words backing up my videos and audios. And now that there's AI, I saved everything. Now it costs me nothing to do it. But I already have a search engine built. I already have 10 years of content that's been transcribed. I have all that. So even if you have the capability of AI, most people, having stored the content correctly, captured it, and two, don't have the time to go back 10 years of an average of 12 interviews a day for 10 years, 6 hours of content a day for 10 years. So they just don't do it because it's too cumbersome and too slow, which gives me a competitive advantage in the marketplace, internally and externally. Build systems while you're small. If you do it twice, document it. If you do it three times, automate it. I'll repeat it. If you do it twice, document it. If you do it three times, automate. I do the same thing with time, right? Is there something I'm doing every second, every minute, every hour, every day? Those are the things I'm creating processes. Like if you don't have a process for brushing your teeth, flossing your teeth, Listerine, showering, shaving, things you should be doing every day, no judgment. Talking to you, Mia, no judgment. Smelly girl. Because he doesn't watch this shit. Don't worry, Vic. No, honestly, how many of you have a system for showering, shaving? Remember, every 2 minutes you save on something you do every day, every 2 minutes that you save is 28 minutes a week. It's 28 minutes every 2 weeks. It's 56 minutes. It's almost an hour a month. It's 12 hours. Gives you 12 hours to do whatever the F you want, to be with who you want, when you want, for as long as you want. So if you value going to Disneyland or hanging out with your kids for 12 hours and you tell me I don't have that in a year, then let me teach you how to brush your teeth in 2 minutes. I can help you. All right. The next lesson, focus on one thing until it's exceptional. This is the idea of mastery. Mastery creates retention, referrals, and durability. Complexity breaks under pressure. Adding features and chasing shiny objects produce many okay things instead of one great thing. Go ask Wing what they do exceptionally well. He will tell you. He won't tell you 100 things. He won't tell you we make the best hamburgers and hot dogs and french fries, although they could. We'll never tell you that. He won't tell you I make a better sandwich than Ike. But you know what he'll tell you. I do this really well, exceptionally well. That's why people love them. I'm a master at this. Don't expand your offering. This is In-N-Out Burger. This is Wahoo Tacos. And these people are part of our network. Ask them about this because this is important. Don't expand the offerings. Expand your excellence. Earn the right to add product number two. Earn the right. Start do free trainings. Do it excellently. So people say, hey, could you give me greater proximity to your training or a replay of your training or whatever it is? 28 years I've been doing this. Every single week, have not missed a week for over 28 years since October 11th. I wanted to get good at it. Pass the one product focus test, 80% plus retention, NPS of 50 more organic referrals, 10 words of clarity, competitors copying you. These are all confirmation that you're mastering what you're doing. Do the 10 word challenge. We help blank achieve blank through blank. The 10 word challenge. We help blank to achieve blank through blank. That's how you're a master. Ruthlessly subtract anything not essential to the core promise. What's interfering with your core promise? Last lesson. Invest in yourself more than you invest in the business. I didn't get this at a young age, and I'll try not to choke up, but my second year in law school, my oldest brother passed away of HIV. My parents got divorced. My mom married again and got divorced. And my stepfather had messed up my credit. So they were going to kick me out of law school because I couldn't have law loans. So I went home for the funeral to tell my mom that I had gotten a job in Japan selling golf clubs for $6,000 a month plus commission. I was a great salesperson and I knew it. I'm finishing up the second year of my law degree, which I was doing very well in law school. And my mom, being my mom, is like, you need to stay. I'll find the money. I'll sell my body. You know, like literally, oh, good luck with that, babe. There's no OnlyFans. And there's no Pornhub. And there's no categories. And you're not in the category that's going to make enough money to pay for my law school. No offense, mom. But I let you know. But then, after the ridiculous statements that she was making, she said something that resonated with me. She said, I go, Mom, I can make so much right now, more than I could as a lawyer. It was a recession in 1991, 92 at the time. Law students, when I went into law school, 90-some% of Tulane graduates had jobs. And now it was like 20% or less. And they were making like $40,000, $50,000 on average to get out of law school with $100,000 of debt. I'm like, I'll make way more money selling golf clubs. And my mom said to me, if you are not willing to invest in yourself, what will you ever invest My mom kicked me right in the balls. She was the velvet hammer. She laid it right on the ground saying, oh, so you don't believe in yourself. You're not willing to do this. I know you could sell. You could have sold before you went to law school. I get it. And that was a game changer because investing in myself became more important than investing in anything else. And this is where that philosophy of asking for help, serving from the saucer, right? Filling my cup so much every single day, knowing confidently that my intention of being rich is to be able to help more people. I looked at when I was young, Warren Buffett, there was a New York Times, I believe in the New York Times article about Warren Buffett being stingy because he wasn't giving enough money to charity. And his quote was, well, if I gave my money to charity now, we'd be hurting society for when I'm older because every dollar I have now is going to be $1,000 when I'm older. I'm giving away everything when I die anyway. So don't be so short-sighted on my generosity. I'm going to invest in myself to invest. And not only will he give the biggest donation in history when he passes, but he's encouraged other billionaires to give the biggest donations. He will have almost $1 trillion of impact instead of the $30 million that he had when I was young, which was a lot of money. He believed in investing in himself before he invested in any of those businesses. To finish up, pursuing our potential, attention is our scarcest asset. When it's scattered, we pay full price for every mistake. We need to earn the right to expand by improving exceptional value first with high retention, organic referrals, 10-word clarity, and competitors copying our playbooks. I've been backstage, literally, one of my favorite people, this guy, Scott Duffy, that I've invested a lot in, one of the first guys that I mentored. I'm backstage with Colleen, my president, and literally he's on stage and he's like, and be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Here's the, and Colleen's like, what do you mean? Like, and I'm like, whoa, slow down. I'm on a mission to empower others, to empower others, to empower others. This is exactly what I want. You're validating me. You're not stealing from me. I'm sure I got that from somebody else anyway. They're probably dead. So they can't be backstage pissed off Dave Meltzer saying that shit. I have no need to be offended. I'm like backstage going, right on, man. You tell them be more interested than interesting. Tell them to be kind with your future self. And I'm going to have to get on stage and either repeat what you said or figure out a different way to say it. And I'm good with that. I love imitation. That means I'm doing my job. Commit to a short window of ruthless focus of attention, intention of doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing. One product, one promise, one metric that will improve every day. Master it. Publish a stop doing list and remove friction and let excellence, not anxiety, set your pace. We don't get what we want. We get what we are prepared for. Prepare yourself for it by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing every day for a minimum amount of time in a non-negotiable way. Prepare by choosing depth over distraction and mastery over more. That is how you do it. This has been the roadmap to our potential. I want to thank Napoleon Hill Institute, as always, for providing me a platform for our weekly training. Nick Vuam, you want to close out the room?
Always a pleasure and an honor. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. As a reminder, if you would like the guide and exercise from today's training, all you need to do is reach out to David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And for those over 200 invitations, but not obligations a year, make sure to join our text community so you get the reminders on where we're going to be. David and I need it more than anybody because it reminds us where we're supposed to be, let alone where we're going to be, which is just 949-298-2905. We will be live back again on Friday for David's Free Friday trainings. As always, as we close things out, I want to remind everybody once again to
be more interested than interesting and
be kind to your future self and do good deeds.